O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I started a new sermon series, Building a Culture of Honour. And one of the key thoughts that we talked about last week was that life flows through honour. A principle clearly seen in the promise of God when he commands us to honour our parents. Such honouring promises us a long life. We also noted that the Bible is clear in directing us to be devoted to one another in love, honour one another above yourselves. To honour another person doesn't come easily in our fear-driven culture, and a culture which really very often puts people down as well. It is not an honouring sort of culture we have. But as Christians, we need to challenge this and look for another way. A better way to build our church community and impact the community about us. The heart of a culture of honour is the conviction that Jesus modelled the Christian life for us. Jesus explained that all the supernatural things that happened through him flowed directly from his connection with his Father. And that same connection has been given to us through his death and resurrection. Maintaining the lifestyle that Jesus modelled for us is totally dependent on living out of our true identities as sons and daughters of God. And next week, if you come down the road, you'll hear me talking a bit more about that. A really important value in this is the value of freedom and safety. Now, last week I promised everybody that I was going to tell a story this week, because I didn't last week. So,
wasn't it several stories?
Hmm?
No,
that was the week before. So I want to do that. Now, this story is from the Bethel Church in Redding, California, where Danny Silk, who wrote the material that is the inspiration of this series, who's on the staff there, Bill Johnson is the senior pastor. And it is a story that will demonstrate how a safe place that honors people, that affirms our identity in Christ, will give us the courage to press forward into the life-changing and life-impacting place God has for us. Now, in the story, and I already know this for a fact, some people will key right into the way in which the incident happens in the story. For others, they will be carrying other issues, but the principles laid out in the story can be just as real, and already today I've seen that working out for some people. So as Danny tells the story, at least it's been compressed. Believe me, I've compressed it. If you want to read the whole story, get the book A Culture of Honour by Danny Silk, or wait until the series is over and you can borrow mine. He says, amongst their second year students, they had a couple who were amazing people, who were leaders in worship and other ministry activities, and they got engaged. Shortly after the year began, that's the second year, one of the leadership team came to Danny and said, we have a problem, one of the girls is pregnant. I said, let's get together with them and talk about it. So the two of the leadership team and the couple came into my office. The couple made no eye contact with me. Their heads were slumped low. It was clear that they came in expecting the worst. They knew that this was going to be the talk, and that they would be told that we love them and then show them the door. After we settled down, I addressed the young man. Now let me ask you this, what is the problem? He looked stunned and asked, didn't they tell you what happened? Didn't he talk to you? Yes. Yes, he has, I replied. He asked, you want me to say it? If you know what the problem is, I want you to tell me. Now, Danny says, my hunch is that he probably didn't know yet what the problem was. So he says, well, she's pregnant. Note the language at this point. I asked, is there anything we can do about that? No. He was clearly frustrated with my questions. He had not intended on doing so much thinking, and this was catching him completely off guard. Okay, so what is the problem? That is what this is about. Let me ask you some more questions. You see, what Danny says is, I was searching for the glory, the wisdom and capability in this young man. The shame he was carrying had made him forget who he was. He thought he was one of those people who needed to be kicked and spit on. And he was ready for our leadership team to do that. To cut the story, they arrived at a point where he admitted that it was easier for him to give in to his girlfriend than to put up with her anger. Danny says, so what you are telling me is that when you are around angry people, it is easier for you to let them control who you are. Is that what you are telling me? Yeah, he said sheepishly. So all it takes for you to abandon your character and your identity is someone who is upset with you. Yeah, he was starting to get it. I asked, mate, is that the problem? Yeah. So if we could build a solution to that problem, would that make our time today worth something to you? Totally. He began to look up. We made eye contact, trying to hide a smile. I could tell he was unsure about feeling better when this was supposed to be a process that made him feel worse about what he had done. Fabulous. Then let's work on it, I said, with a big smile on my face. I now turned to the girl. What is the problem? I don't know, she quickly shot back, defensive. For the sake of time, the girl admitted that she did not trust people. It was a powerful hold in her life and showed up in numerous ways. She struggled with suspicion. She felt like people were trying to control her, and her fear blinded her to the care and concern they had for her. This issue had wreaked havoc with her for many years. She was fearful, isolated, often stubborn and guarded. I got to the bottom of things with her. We had two people in the same situation with two completely different problems. He was afraid of other people being upset with him, and she was afraid of other people controlling her. By the time we discovered these problems, they were no longer expecting to be beheaded over them. We had created a safe place for them to be themselves, the amazing people they truly are. It was then time to help them to fix their problems and to set them free from the shame. You see, we live in a shame-driven culture. You just think about that. How many people are running around carrying junk, really, that is really, at its core, shame? So I asked them another question. Who is affected by these problems in your life? It's like you're walking through a room with a big bucket of paint and you drop it. The paint is splashed all over the place. So who has paint on them? They began to remember the people they loved, the people who didn't yet know that she was pregnant. These were people who loved them, who believed in them, who had honored them. These were the relationships they wanted to protect: their parents, siblings, leaders in the school of ministry, leaders back home, his small church that had taken up a monthly offering to help pay for his school tuition, her brother who had just become a Christian and thought she was just wonderful, and these two represented Jesus to him. We could see these two remembering all these people, and as they came to mind, they realized how this situation was going to hurt them. All this came to the surface because we trusted them to have a great deal of love and respect inside them, and because we asked them the right questions. I then asked, so what are you going to do? You made a pretty good sized mess here. We know who has the paint on them. What are you going to do about cleaning it up? They went through the list and began to come up with solutions. I asked them, how much time do you need? They thought, 1 week. All right, I said. We will wait and take care of the school of ministry students involved in the mess later. And so they did what they had said. Within the week, they contacted their family members and their church leaders. They grew in confidence and commitment. They were met by a stream of love and affirmation by almost every person they approached. You see, shame is removed through love. Shame tries to keep people trapped in their mistakes by convincing them that there is nothing they can do. that they are powerless. And when we lovingly removed the shame over them, these two became strong again, faced their consequences, and went around cleaning up their mess. All they could do was clean up their mess. They could not change the past, but they could go to those they loved and ask for forgiveness. And asking for forgiveness, they were saying, "Please allow me to demonstrate my love toward you and protect this relationship. Please let me clean up this mess." Love cast out their fear and made them strong again. Once back at school, the second year class got together and Danny said to the class, "All right, everyone, something is about to happen that many of you have never experienced before. Before they say a word, I want all of you to remember something very important. It may be tempting to judge these two for what they are about to share with you." He then goes on to use a few descriptives about their unsaved state before they met Jesus. And then he says, "If any of you have judgments towards them, I want you to come and talk to me personally before I hear it coming from somebody else that you spoke with." The young man started by saying, "I want to apologize to this class because I know that we are part of you and you are part of us. Over the summer we ended up messing up." Now listen to his change of language. "And now we're going to have a baby." It's no longer she. Now there's a bit of ownership shifted here. "I was struck by his humility and vulnerability. He was truly repenting to this group of peers. He went on to say, 'I've discovered a problem in my life I didn't know I had. It has been causing a lot of problems for me. I am working on it now. I have more hope now than I have ever had about solving this problem. As it stands, this is what's going on.'" And explained the whole thing. She stood there with him, humble and vulnerable, and after he had finished, she did the same thing. I have a bit of trouble getting through this next bit. "I invited one of their fellow students, Brandon, who held a fatherly role in the class, to come and pray for them and forgive them and restore them to the heavenly standard in relationships with the rest of the class. When he got up, 47 other students, the whole class, got up with him and surrounded these two. Brandon prayed prayers of forgiveness and love. He welcomed them back. Someone else told them how much they loved them and thanked them for not leaving the school. Another student thanked them for trusting the class with this part of their lives. Then the students prophesied over them and the baby yet to be born. They accepted the baby into the community. The whole class wept together. It was truly an amazing time. I was stunned by the response, but at the same time I knew these people and that all of them were amazing. The room was felt much lighter as people hugged and smiled through tear-covered faces." I don't know whether any of you saw Sunday program. It was on last week or it was on first thing this morning. I was watching breakfast and it was talking about kids there who had been, who'd never had any parenting at all as such. They'd never been held or hugged, even though they were, you know, Western children. And the transformation that takes place when that kind of redemptive act happens. Well, then came in someone from the first year and said, "Hey, the first year has time to do this now." "I led the way," said Danny. And as the two of them headed to the first year class, the 47 second year students followed them. The first year students could not help but be aware of the huge presence entering their classroom. Now, what's interesting is when the couple were asked about, "Well, what about the first year students?" They said, "Well, there are 100 strangers. I mean, they don't know us, so why would all this thing affected them?" And then they began to think about, but second year students look up to first year students for leadership and for example, and they realized that they did have something to say to these new interns. The second year students, they lined the walls of the room like an army of guardian angels as this couple stood before 100 strangers and repented. "I asked Kevin to pray for them. As he got up, all the students stood up." and gathered around the couple to pray and bless them. Kevin began to pray and prophesy over them, breaking the curse of shame and illegitimacy over this baby and severing the enemy's legal right to access and destroy this child through shame. It was a powerful time of love and reconciliation. 100 students embraced and loved this couple that day. They had done all they could to clean up their mess and carried on to be one of the best examples amongst the second year students. Later in the year they were married, and after that the child was born. Whole story about that as well, but not for tonight. You see, at the heart of this culture of honour is the value of freedom. Now, we don't allow people to use this freedom to create chaos, no. We have boundaries, but we use these boundaries to make room for a level of personal expression that brings what is really inside them to the surface. When we are given choices, it reveals the level of freedom we are prepared to handle. And when we discover our true capacity for self-control and responsibility, we then have revelation or understanding and opportunity we need to grow toward the freedom that God desires for each of his sons and daughters. Now, I don't know if you're carrying any shame or not. Most of us do in one way or another. But the amazing thing is about this whole story is that it points out to us that we might see a deed that we carry, and I know this is true, and people carry it all their life. And it binds them down to them, because as for this couple, they saw that there is no way of getting free of it. But we have a Father in heaven. In the first place, loves us a bit. Second place, believes in us. Yeah, he doesn't like the mess ups. But he did something about that, because that's why Jesus comes, so that we have the means of forgiveness. And you and I together, we as Christian people, are called to be agents of that love and welcome and forgiveness. We create the environment of freedom and forgiveness, of safety, so that when people screw up, as we all do, they know that this is a place that won't judge them like these kids expected. They expected to get the big stick, instead of which they were set free and made whole. Have I seen this sort of thing happening? Yeah, I have. I've seen people who once were diminished in character rise up to be standing tall as people who actually carry something that they can offer to the betterment of society and church, because their real identity was honored. We're made in the image of God. We carry that within us. He has made us to be people of worth and of value, not to live under the power of shame. So let us, in this next few moments, just be silent before God. And if you are carrying shame for any reason, just recognize that God does forgive. He does set free. He does make it possible for us to know freedom from shame. And on the other side of the coin, let us choose to honour people and to lift them above the messes that are made into life. A life given to us so willingly by God Himself. We thank you, Father, for such amazing love. Help us to lay down that which burdens us, such shame as we might carry from time to time, and deliver us free people that offer freedom to others. In Jesus' name, Amen.